Good morning, church. We hope that you are doing well, enjoying the warm weather. Hope you've been outside. Have you been outside lately?
I have been outside lately.
We have as well, cutting wood and digging trenches and playing in the dirt and planting gardens. And show of hands, how many of people are planting gardens this year? Okay.
Hallelujah. Yes. I don't see that hand.
We're trusting your hands are raised or not. I don't know. Welcome to another Sunday from Christian Outreach Center. It's May now, isn't it?
It is May.
And it's Communion Sunday. Depending on when you watch this video, hopefully you either tuned in on Zoom or Facebook, or if you're watching this before 10 o'clock, because 10 o'clock this morning, 10 a.m., we are gathering digitally for Communion Sunday. So, if you have grape juice and a bread of some kind or a cracker, dial into Zoom or send us a text or something, and we can get you that address. Or Facebook Live, we're going to be doing it at 10 o'clock. If you're watching this after 10, there's always next month.
There is always next month.
Right. So depending on when you're seeing this, hopefully that was a great enjoyment for you and participating in the Lord's Supper together, which is something we Jesus commanded us to do and we place high value on. So I'd love to do that with you in person, but this Sunday is going to be digitally again. And so carry on, depending on when you're watching this. So last time, we spent the last couple of weeks talking about this idea of partnership. And this all stirred off of a section that the Lord led us to in Philippians. I'm going to reread that to you. We've read it for a couple weeks now, but I'm just going to glaze over that real quick because that's the foundation of what we're talking about. It's in Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse number 3. And it says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for you, I always pray with joy because of your, say it with me, partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. And the idea that Stephen and I have been talking about is this idea of partnership. What are you partnering with? And everybody is partnering with something. And Paul was so excited that the Philippian church were partnering with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we read another verse, where was that one? Philemon, I think, where it was talking about the partnership with Paul and with his crew of people, and just that this joining of our lives together for the glory of God and for the goodness of his kingdom, and just the fruit that yields. And so that's what the last 2 weeks have been about, and we're going to continue on that path a little bit because we're talking about being people of peace and presence, living in that. And whether we are or not people of peace and presence depends on the sub-series here, how well we steward our season. Because we can have great intentions. Have you ever had a great... Stephen, have you ever had a great intention? Doing something, being something, saying something, making a goal. Anyone ever set a New Year's resolution? Right, we've had great intentions. One of the things that derails us I guess it was a Stephen quote. It was a point that you brought up, that God intends how many seasons? Every season to be a season of growth. Good seasons, bad seasons, great seasons, dull seasons, boring seasons, chaotic seasons. God expects us to steward them well. And how well we steward the season that we've been given dictates how well we're going to be people of peace and presence. And so one of the determining factors in how well we steward it is what we partner with. And I think Stephen in just a second is going to talk a little bit more about that. But we kind of ended last time with this thought that Paul was so joyful and so excited that God was going to bring to completion this work that he started in them. As they gave their hearts to Christ, as they surrendered their lives, as they repented from their sins, as they embraced the new life of Jesus Christ, that Paul could be joyful and excited about what God was doing in their life. And I think he based that joy and excitement and confidence on two things. I think, this is my opinion, and I think the Word of God portrays this. He was excited about two things. One of them was his confidence in the goodness of God. God is good. And Paul was just driving that point home. God started in something in you. He's going to carry it to completion. I'm joyful. I'm excited about this. When I pray for you, I pray with joy. Just Paul had this earnest expectation, this hope of good things to come out of the Philippian church. And one of the reasons for that was because of the goodness of God. I know my God. I know this God that I serve, and he's fully good, and he's fully sovereign, and he's fully aware of what's going on in our life. And so he's going to uphold his end of the bargain. Mm-hmm. But wait a minute. That means that there's another end of the bargain. Mm-hmm. And the other end of the bargain is what I think. And that's – so this first part is all absolutely a given. The second part is what I think Paul is saying is because they partnered with the gospel, because the direction of their hearts, lives, minds, resources, all this were pointing towards partnering with God things, partnering with kingdom things, partnering with what God was doing, that Paul could be confident that they would be on board with what God wanted to do in their life. And so just real quick, just a quick review of what we ended with last time was kind of this idea of grace in our lives. And grace is such a beautiful thing. It's this favor of God. It's this outpouring of God that we didn't deserve, we didn't earn, we could do nothing to start or stop it. And there's kind of the three levels of grace that we talked about. One is common grace, where, you know, the Bible says that the rain falls on the unrighteous and on the righteous. It falls on the wicked and on the good. The goodness of God, like oxygen in our lungs, the ability for us to breathe and think and separate, like neurons firing, electrical neurons in our brain, us being able to even process that, is because of the goodness of God. Mm-hmm. And we can choose to use those for wicked things. We can choose to, you know, slay people or do evil things, lie and steal and whatever. But it's still the grace of God on our life to be able to even breathe and function. So that's common grace. And then the next level is kind of this idea of applied grace. Like when we respond to the tugging of the Holy Spirit on our life, it's the grace of God that even leads us to repentance. But when we say yes, when we agree with that, we step into a whole nother level of grace that the cross of Christ paid for us. And so we get to see the goodness of God in its various forms in all kinds of different ways. But then what we ended on last time is there's a third level. And that's really what we would call conditional grace, if that's such a thing. But it's the idea of God puts this out there. We read the verse in Chronicles, if my people, you know, who are called by my name will humble themselves, then God's going to, like, if you do this, then God will do this. And it's still grace, and it's still the idea of it's all initiated by God, but are we going to join with that? And we get to have the condition of that. Sometimes God just does, and that would be the second level. Sometimes God just does some stuff in our, I would say every day God does stuff in our life that is grace-based, that's more than I deserve, that's nothing I did to earn it, and I didn't even partner with anything. And God just shows up and does phenomenal things. But I also want to point out scripturally that just find the promises of God that say if, or when you do this, or as you do this, or if you walk in righteousness, or if, and it's so much is dependent on, am I going to show up where the grace of God is flowing? There's a greater measure. And we talked about that in our series on favor. You can go back and listen to that on our website. What's our website?
cocfamily.com.
Absolutely. So if you haven't been to our website, our past messages are on there. Some of the videos are on there since COVID. All those videos are on there. But this idea of I can not partner with the grace of God, and sometimes God's going to show up in my life anyways, just because he's so good. But if I want to consistently grow, if I want to consistently experience the goodness of God, if I want to consistently walk in the favor of God, then I need to partner with the kingdom of God. I need to partner with grace. I need to partner with the gospel. I need to position my life in that sense. And so that's what we ended with last time. And Stephen had some more thoughts on partnership.
Yeah. So I've been, obviously we've been doing a study in Ephesians on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
And so I've been camping in Ephesians for a really long time now. And I really feel like this partnership idea really brought a key piece to the puzzle with where our Ephesians study Absolutely. Needed to go. Mm-hmm. And so I love that we're here talking about partnership on our Sunday services because mm-hmm. that plays so well into mm-hmm. our conversations on Wednesday. And if you watched this last Wednesday's video, we talked about how fruit, the fruit that we produce, is a product of partnership, mm-hmm. right? And so, but I also said this, that in the natural world, right, the quality of fruit is going to be indicative of the season that it's in. However, you and I are called to something higher, right? Because the power of the Spirit mm-hmm. is revealed yeah. in that we can produce good fruit in bad seasons. Mm-hmm. And we talked about how bad seasons are actually the best mm-hmm. means for growing good fruit right. because of the power of the Spirit, right? And so, but then I kind of teased that out a little bit and said, well, wait a second, right? I thought it's the Holy Spirit. Isn't the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit that produces the fruit in us? Yes. But it's a product of partnership. And the reason corn, you can't grow good corn in a bad season is because corn doesn't have a say in the matter, Ooh, right? It's in the good. Ground. It doesn't have a choice. That corn is just a dumb kernel of corn, mm-hmm. right? Yep. We have a say in the matter. We, mm-hmm. in spite of the dark season or the bad season, we get to choose what we're going to be partnering with. Are we going to be partnering with the elements of our season, or are we going to be partnering with God's redemption, mm-hmm. God's purposes, God's plan? And that's the important key. And so Kirk brought us into Philemon last week, right? And I'm reading Philemon verse 6. I'm going to read what Kirk wrote. Kirk said, I pray that you partnership That your partnership, not Kirk wrote this, Paul wrote this, Kirk what said Kirk it. Said, yes.
That Paul wrote.
Sorry, my brain just caught up to what my mouth was speaking there for a second. In Philemon 6, Paul writes, I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Now, in my version in Philemon 6, this is still Paul, this is just a different interpretation. It says this, I pray that you may be active. Hmm. And something stood out in that as he was speaking that and I was reading this, something ignited in me that partnership demands action. Ooh. Partnership yeah. demands activity. Mm-hmm. And if you are partnered with something, you're going to know based on your actions and your activity, because it goes, I guess where my thought was, is partnership goes way beyond just simply agreeing with someone or mm-hmm. something. Because Kirk and I can be in agreement about something, but still not necessarily be partnered with it, right? I can right. agree that it's a good idea for him to, I don't know, put in
clean my desk,
clean his desk. Right. But that doesn't mean that I want to partner with him in that process, right? Or I can agree with going on a diet is a good idea, right? right? Mm-hmm. I can agree with that, mm-hmm. but I'm not actually partnering with it unless I actually am actively mm-hmm. dieting. And I can agree that the gospel is good,
yeah.
right? I can agree the gospel Amen. Is good. Who wouldn't agree Amen. With the gospel? The gospel is good for spiritual health, but unless I'm actively living that out on a daily basis, I'm not actually partnering with wow. it. And that's what Paul is challenging us with. He's saying, be partnered with the gospel. Your partnership is going to be proven by how active you are yeah. in that partnership. And that's what I, as you were reading that Philemon passage last week, like that was like standing out. It's going way beyond agreement. And as you're watching these videos, you could be sitting in your chair going, amen, pastor, yeah. that's good news. Yep. That's yep. good, right?
Yep.
But don't let it just be good news. yeah. Let it be good in that you take that news in and you apply it and watch as transformation unfolds right. in that.
I was just going to say that when you brought that up, how many times do I sit there and be like, yes, that's so good. And then we just walk away from it. And we're like, what'd you hear today? Oh, wow.
It was good.
It was good. It was so good. And I just, how many times have I done that? Or that's such a great idea. How many times do you see something on Pinterest or, you know, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. a life hack or whatever? And you're like, man, that would be so good. But if we don't ever put our action or our choices mm-hmm. or our decisions towards that, it just remains a good idea. Mm-hmm. And the gospel in your life, ooh, if we don't put our actions towards it, it just remains a good idea.
Yes, yes. Ouch. Oofta.
It just,
oofta.
It doesn't, I think that's sometimes why we get so disillusioned with this idea of, well, I'm a Christian. I agree with this, you know? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's a good idea. Amen. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And yet I've never partnered my life with the gospel, and so we're not seeing fruit in my life. Mm-hmm. Maybe I gave my heart to Christ, you know, a year ago or 5 years ago or, you know, when I was, you know, 15 or whatever, and my life doesn't look any different than the world. Mm-hmm. It's because I'm partnering with the world, or I'm partnering with something else, and I'm not partnering with the gospel. I mean, we could spend the whole rest of the time talking about that.
And that's, you brought so that up too in your conversation last week, where you mentioned, you know, Paul would have known people that would have accepted the gospel but then fallen away in their life and just and not really lived it out.
It and didn't get carried to completion.
Exactly. And here in Philippians, he's speaking with confidence because of
the partnership.
The partnership.
He's like, I'm watching your lives. Yes. You're aligning your lives with the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm confident the goodness of God is going to overwhelm your lives, and he's going to carry this thing to completion. There's nothing that can stop his end of the deal when we say yes.
Amen.
You know, the promises of God. Yes. The promises of God, the Bible says, are yes and amen. God speaks yes. He says, yes, this is what is here for you. But we have to say amen, which means so be it. Let it let it be. Mm-hmm. It requires a partnership to see the fulfillment of God's promises in my life. And that doesn't mean he's not still doing sovereign things. It doesn't mean that he's not still doing things that he's orchestrating, and he's showing us goodness that we didn't even say amen to. But to experience the fullness of that, to experience the fullness of some of these promises, we've got to say amen. We've got to let our choices and our agreement, not just it's a good idea, the agreement of my life, my choices, my resources, my imagination, my words, have to come in agreement with kingdom things to realize the fullness of kingdom promises.
Yeah, let your life be the amen on that promise from God.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Good stuff. What else you got for us?
Exactly. So, well, I just wanted to tease this out a little bit, because you've been talking about, okay, so partnership, it's going to, you talk about, let's see, choices.
Yep.
Okay. And so resources.
When I partner with something, it's going to, my choices and my actions, my volition is going to line up with whatever I'm partnering with.
Choices, resources.
My resources, so my gifts, my talents, my money, my time is all going to get pointed towards whatever it is I'm partnering with.
And then last is your dreams, right? Yeah. And is all that.
Prophetic creativity.
And so as he was talking about that last week, I was thinking about it like this, like partnership drives your devotion. Partnership drives your devotion, because you can tell what you're partnered with based on how devoted you are to it, okay? Partnership drives your devotion. And so a question I want to be asking myself right now is, what are my daily choices revealing about what I'm partnered with? Wow. Because daily choices are going to show what you're devoted to. If I'm devoted to my diet, my daily choices are going to show. If I'm devoted to my wife, my daily choices are going to show. So partnership drives devotion. Then devotion dictates then your resources. Okay.
That's true.
What you do with those resources, devotion is going to dictate that. And so you can tell what you're partnered with based on how you spend your time, your energy, your attention, your affection, your whatever, right? Like you can tell what you're partnered with based on that. And so what are your resources then? What are my resources then revealing about what I'm partnered with, right? Okay. And then resources then are what are used to develop dreams. But I want to pause here for just a second, because those dreams need to be shared, okay? In a partnership, dreams are shared. And so when we talk about dreams, it's dreams that you and God have together, okay? It's not just you leveraging this conditional promise as a mean for God to fulfill your dreams. No, that doesn't work, right? It's you tapping into God in the context of a partnership and finding out what's the shared dream that God has for your life, right? And so you can tell what you're partnered with based on the dreams that you share within that partnership. And so what do your dreams reveal about what you're partnering with? I know that's a lot of stuff, again, about partnership.
That was like drinking from a fire hose. That was intense. That's so good. Oh, sorry. Man, like I've got like 15 different things I want to say.
I'm sorry.
No.
I'm sorry.
That was all so good. One thought I have, just in a beautiful partnership, it's a shared dream. I love that. Mm. And, you know, how many times do we think we're partnered with our wives or our children, mm-hmm. and yet mm-hmm. we have dissonance in our dreams. Mm-hmm. They're not in mm-hmm. harmony. They're mm-hmm. not a shared dream.
Yeah.
And doesn't even need to be like an absolute singular dream. You know, I might have part of it and God has, well, obviously all of it. I might have part of kind of how I'm seeing the dream and my wife might have part of the vision for our lives, but they mesh. They're mm-hmm. they're the same mm-hmm. goal. They're the same dream for our lives, for our kids, with our friends. Whatever we're partnering with, it's a shared dream. And how many times when we're experiencing disharmony in our marriages, mm-hmm. it's because we feel like maybe we're pointed in the same direction, but we really aren't. And if you would really, mm-hmm. often that's some of the best things that happens in counseling, marriage counseling, is kind of uncovering, you guys are going two different directions here. You live
but
in this,
we love each
yeah,
other.
And that's often is sincere. You sincerely love each other. You legitimately mm-hmm. live in the same place and you truly are going two different directions in life. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. what's driving that? Sometimes it's mm-hmm. it's miscommunication, sometimes it's just stubbornness, and sometimes it's just I assume this is where you are going in life and I assume this is where I'm going in life, and in the worst case scenario, it's just selfishness. Mm. This is the vision I want to see for our marriage, and this is the vision I want to see for our marriage. And so we mm-hmm. have to, sometimes we need a third party as a counselor. Sometimes, and I would say every time, we need a third party, as in the Holy Spirit, to get my vision and my wife's vision mm-hmm. meshed in the Holy Spirit. And let's get God's vision yeah. for where our lives are going. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it's so beautiful. The other thought I had as you were talking amongst other 50 thoughts.
50 thoughts.
Is that same idea that it's a shared vision, it's a shared dream, it's a shared reality for the future that I'm realizing in my words and in my mind. And when I'm partnering, let's say we talked the issue that we talked about last time, just as a reference, was maybe fear. When I'm partnered with fear, I share my dreams with the dreams that fear has for my life.
Oofta. Ouch. Mm. Ouch.
Yeah. Or I share the dreams with the dreams that selfish mm-hmm. ambition has for mm-hmm. my life. Or I share mm-hmm. my dreams with the dreams that greed has for my mm-hmm. life. Mm-hmm. And I paint this picture of what that would look like. Mm-hmm. And I invest mm-hmm. my creativity and my energy mm-hmm. into living out those dreams. Mm-hmm. When really it needs to be mm-hmm. God's dreams mm-hmm. and gospel dreams mm-hmm. and gospel vision and kingdom vision for my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad you went into that marriage thing again, because I thought there was a lot of really good stuff in that analogy.
As we say,
of marriage.
there's a lot of meat on that bone.
There is, because you asked this question last week, is it possible to be in relationship with God, to love Jesus, but be partnered with something else? And the reality is, yes, it's definitely possible mm-hmm. to do that, right? I can be in a relationship with my wife, but maybe I'm in partnership with my job.
Ooh,
I can be in relationship with my kids, but maybe I'm partnered with my hobbies, right?
Ooh.
And something to keep in mind is partnership. Yeah. Partnership thrives on unity, okay? Partnership. The partnership works as mm-hmm. long as there's unity there, but unity thrives on surrender,
ooh.
Okay? And we all know what Jesus surrendered. Mm-hmm. To be in partnership mm-hmm. with us. Are wow. we willing to surrender mm-hmm. just as much?
Mm. Ouch.
That's what Paul's confidence ouch. Is based in, though, in Philippians.
Yeah. I was just thinking as you were saying that, we have I think it's easy to get duped into this, not duped sounds like such a sinister word, but tricked or create a false idea of partnership in our life because someone has access to my life.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. So Stephen and I, we work together. We've been great friends for decades. And so we have a lot of access to each other's lives. Doesn't necessarily mean we're in partnership. That can be different. I can be living in the same house with my wife. And we can have lots of access.
Yes.
They know things about me. I love them. Right? We talk about things, and yet my decisions aren't pointed towards, my actions aren't pointed towards, my resources aren't pointed towards. I can have an entirely different partnership. So I could honestly and truly love my wife. I could honestly and truly want to be connected. We can be in the same place. We can share lots of things. We can have access to each other's lives. And yet I can be partnered with, you know, my business, or I can be partnered with football. Not now because it's not going on, but you know, do you know what I mean? Or hunting, because all of my imagination, my creative words, my resources, you know, my vision, my choices, when it comes to, is it time with my wife or is it hunting? Is it time with my wife or is it football? Is it time with my wife or is it my hobby? You know, is it time with my wife or is it my job? Is it dreaming together of going on dates and creating this atmosphere where we have shared vision and creativity, where we take these down moments, where we do things that are intimate, where we're able to just talk about the future? Or do I sit in my chair behind my phone and dream about a future where I'm accomplishing selfish ambitions? Or I don't dream with my wife because I'm just enslaved to fear and we're just constantly thinking about fearful scenarios. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's possible to have access but not be partnered. So it looks like we're intimate. It looks like we're sharing things in life, and yet I'm partnered with something completely different. That's a bizarre thought to me.
So we've stumbled into marriage counseling in our sub-series of our main series.
You know what that points to? If you're watching this and you're kind of sketchy on the whole God thing, it points to this to me, that a 2,000-year-old book at minimum, you know, New Testament, 2,000 years old, this irrelevant piece of literature from, and I say that irrelevant in quotes, this irrelevant book that's 2,000 years, 2 millennium old, how could that speak to my life today? It speaks to the fact that we talk about Paul talking about partnership with the gospel, and we stumble into marriage advice.
Marriage advice.
Why is that? It's because the kingdom of God invades every part of our life. God knew what he was doing when he made you. He knew what he was doing when he wrote the manual for your life. Guys, this is not just a Sunday morning for 1 hour book. This is an entirety of my life book, and there's answers. Every problem and issue you have in your life, whether it's financial, whether it's marriage, whether it's relational — marriage is relational, but a different level — but, you know, friendship, whether it's, you know, work related, this book has the answers for that. And I just want to challenge you today that this is not an irrelevant book. It's a book that covers every facet of our life. And that's why it's easy to start off talking about partnership with the gospel. Well, Paul's writing to a church 2,000 years ago, and we end up talking about marriage because these issues of life are interwoven. And we can't separate a Jesus part of my life and a church part of my life and a work part of my life and a kids part of my life and a boss part of my life. It's my life.
Amen.
And where's my life? What is my life partnered with? We are out of time, and we love you guys. And Father, I just pray a blessing over these people today. I pray that they would come to know you in a deeper and more powerful way. If someone does not know Jesus Christ, I pray that they would be stirred to repentance today, that they would turn from their life of sin and embrace Jesus and to accept the work that Christ has done on the cross for them. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Blessings on you guys. We love you. Till next time.